Adulthood today is undergoing profound transformations. Men and women wait until their 30s to marry, have children, and establish full-time careers, occupying a prolonged period in which they are no longer adolescents, but still lack the traditional emblems of adult identity. Stephen Mintz is professor of history at the University of Texas at Austin and executive director of the University of Texas Systems Institute for Transformational Learning. He's just written a new book entitled The Prime of Life, which puts today's challenges into new perspective by exploring how past generations navigated the passage of maturity, achieved intimacy and connection, raised children, sought meaning in work, and responded to loss. Again, the title of the book is The Prime of Life, A History of Modern Adulthood, and we welcome Stephen Mintz to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Very nice to have you here, and I thank you for the time on this matter. What got you thinking about adulthood and how we look at it now and its history?
As you know, the rule book of adulthood has changed, and it changed during your lifetime and mine. Not too long ago, adulthood marked a pretty orderly progression. That is, you ended your education, and you got married, and then you had kids, and you had a steady job for most of your life. And today, that pattern has crumpled before our eyes. Many people have children before they get married. Their education goes on. And the average college graduate these days will have 11 different jobs in 3 different career areas. What a transformation. We've lived through it. How did this happen? That's the question I'm interested in.
Looking at it through this microscope, though, is interesting because it's not about our culture. It's not about our overall society. I mean, it is, but you're looking at what it means to be an adult, of what it means to that idea of adulthood and what it means to our maturation.
Exactly. We have devalued adulthood. That is, most Americans, according to opinion polls, believe that their lives peak around the age of 26, and that it's all downhill after that.
Well, that's depressing.
That adulthood means stagnation. It means decline. It means being in a rut. And that encourages people not to want to grow up.
So there's that Peter Pan thing, right?
Well, adulthood is not something that people want to aspire to. And part of the argument of my book is to recover an alternate definition of adulthood, not one that's defined exclusively by marriage, parenthood, home ownership, but rather the Cary Grant ideal of adulthood. That is worldliness, sophistication, maturity. That's something worth aspiring towards.
So is it that they don't want to or that they can't? Meaning, if these kids are saddled with, you know, $100,000 worth of debt from college, that changes the playing field, doesn't it?
Well, you are onto something very important. Social class has become much more important in shaping individuals' lives trajectories. And it's most evident, very unfortunately, in 2 areas. One is education. That is, whether you're going to go to college and whether you're going to graduate from college has become increasingly class-linked. And the other is parental investment in their children. If you want to buy a house today, it helps to have parents with deep pockets who can contribute to the down payment. If you want an internship to build up your resume, ditto. You want parents who can help you through the 20s. The 20s have become the decisive decade in young people's lives. It's a time when many young lives go off the tracks. But the key difference is parental resources.
Do you feel, how do you define it? To me, and this is 100% purely anecdotal, Steve. But to me, it was not marriage. I mean, that helped. But it was ultimately buying a house that was a thing that thrust me into feeling like I was an actual adult.
Well, it's responsibility and obligation, right? You are no longer autonomous in quite the way you were when you were younger. And it's hard to see that as a unambiguous positive, right? Because wouldn't it be better if you didn't feel those obligations and responsibilities, which do burden us? But, of course, having others depend on us is, you know, a real sign of maturation.
Although, it's also that we want to get it right. And we want to get relationships right. We want to get our careers right. We want to get, I'm speaking generally, of course.
Yeah.
We want to get how we move forward, what our roadmap is. We want to get that right. And I'm not saying, I mean, I agree with you. I guess I'm just pointing out that, you know, maybe planning that, is that such a bad thing?
Well, let's look at it this way. Compared to your grandparents, your life is much easier on a physical level. Right, you have more income, you live in greater comfort, the job you have is not dangerous, and yet I think you feel more stress in your life than they did. And how could that possibly be? Right? I mean, your health is better, your prospects for longevity are better. How can you feel more stress than they did? And the answer is, they had certain expectations of life and certain roles that they would fit into that were all very clearly defined. And you don't. I don't. The expectations that we bring to marriage are much higher. The alternatives to marriage are much more open. We're much more psychologically aware about our relationships with our children. You know, an analogy to me is that we now have all kinds of prenatal tests, and that makes people more anxious. Should we not have them? Of course we need them, but it does make people lead more stressful lives.
Well, sure, but everything is stressful. I mean, I traveled yesterday, and it's just, you know, going to the train station is stressful. Going into a building and having, you know, being patted down is stressful. I mean, everything about that is stressful, but it's necessary, right?
Well, you know, what I would argue is that we feel certain kinds of regrets that earlier generations did not feel precisely because we have more options.
So how do we, because I think people, I understand what you're saying about having more options, but do you think the average person realizes they have more options?
Oh, I think they definitely do. We all know that our marriages are contingent and could end anytime.
Well, that's true.
And that's something your grandparents didn't think.
Right. So when it comes to this idea of the prime of life, and you touched on this at the beginning of our conversation, so how do you define that? What is our prime of life? What is our prime? What's our prime time?
I think a great irony is that nobody these days says that life begins at 40, or if they do say it, they mean it ironically. But in fact, by most measures, middle age is indeed the prime of life. And what I mean by that is you have a firm sense of your own identity.
Right.
Most adults are reasonably happy in their lives. They're more financially secure than they're ever going to be again. Their health generally is good. I mean, middle age, it turns out, is the prime of life. We all wish that we had our youthful vigor and appearance, but not many of us would like to be 18 again.
No.
Because there was so much, you know, angst then that we don't have when we're middle-aged.
Okay. So, but I guess, you know, so we send kids out into the world, and then the cat of life sort of bats them around for a while. And then we reach this point. I'm 48. So, you know, I'm at a comfortable, I'm a little bit, obviously a little bit older than middle age, but I feel like I'm at a comfortable place. And with that maturity, I think comes a level of comfort, not so much in, I mean, obviously financial comfort, but more to just in the way I interact and the situations and how I deal with things, and that I have experiences to draw from.
And yet, if you were to ask most young people today, would you want to be middle-aged? Middle-aged is covered, permeated with negative images of unhappy spouses, of unfulfilling careers, of debts and mortgages, and that discourages people from wanting to grow up.
But they do. I mean, it happens whether you want to or not.
It comes with the turf, but in the process, and this is what I find exciting, they're reinventing what it means to be middle-aged. It doesn't mean wearing a fedora. It doesn't necessarily mean wearing a suit and tie. It doesn't mean that you're going to play bridge or canasta. It doesn't mean necessarily that you'll play golf. And we're beginning to see the return of something that used to exist but hasn't existed for quite a while, and that is an adult culture. That is events that are really for adults, forms of entertainment that are really for adults. You know, just the other night was the Met Gala.
Yes.
When people dress up and act sophisticated, right? All for the cameras. And that's a sign of rebirth of a notion that the prime of life is not when you're 18. The best years of your life are not your college years. They come later.
But can it all be good? I mean, can't the prime of life be from the time you're born to the time you die? I mean, can it be that I don't want to be overly simplistic, but can it be that we look at life and we look at each stage of life, each passage as something that gets us to another level, and we appreciate all of those stages. We appreciate when we were teenagers. We appreciate what we learned in those situations. We appreciate college. We appreciate the hard work that we put in in our 20s. We appreciate the time we had with our parents. We appreciate how we've matured. We've been able to do things. We appreciate those around us when they pass. I mean, aren't those all things that allow us at the various stages of our life, even later in life,
Each stage is meaningful and each stage is developmental, and yet I want to argue that there's something richer about adulthood than those earlier periods. For one thing, your intimate relationships are much more intense and prolonged. They have a depth that they didn't have when you were 18 or 12. And you also have, hopefully, learned from experience, and it may be a little bit bittersweet, but you're not so naive anymore. You're not so disingenuous anymore. And so you can see the complexities of the world in a more sophisticated way. Obviously, each sequence in our book of life is deeply meaningful, but it is cumulative, too. And you are more knowledgeable and richer in experience when you're older. And that means something, but it's not something that this society tends to value.
Stephen Mintz is the author of the new book, The Prime of Life, A History of Modern Adulthood. The book is published by Harvard University Press. Stephen, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. A great pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Prime of Life. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.